Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston on the heels of a very eventful 24 hours when it comes to coaching in football. Right now, Bill Belichick appears to be giving a farewell press conference. You had a similar deal yesterday with Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. And of course, Nick Saban retired yesterday as well. So really transformative 24 hours in football. Going to be very curious to see what happens next in New England and in Seattle. What Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll do next, and the massive vacuum that's been created in college football. So if you want to weigh in on that, you can on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. But we do have a big matchup for my beloved Houston Texans on Saturday. They're, of course, taking on the Cleveland Browns and Joe Flacco, who did a very good job against the Browns last time. He was asked about matching up against C.J. Stroud, not Case Keenum, this time around. If he feels the need to out-duel Stroud, here's what Flacco had to say.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think anytime somebody plays like that, you're definitely going to go into that game and say, all right, we're not getting beat by that guy again. But once again, it's not my job to worry too much about that. It's my job to go out there and play on Saturday and just, you know, do what the defense tells me. And you don't want to overthink it either. You know, you don't want to take your head off of Amari just because you think that they're going to have some gigantic plan for him. We got to be ready for everything.
He mentions Amari at the very end, and here's the bad news for the Houston Texans. Amari Cooper hasn't played since he set the Browns franchise record for receiving yards in a game against the Texans with 265. He's been dealing with a heel injury since Christmas Eve, but he was saying yesterday at practice he will be ready to go. As far as the Houston Texans at practice, I believe that as I speak right now, they may be about to start their practice, so I'm sure we'll see some new information about some of their players today. But Will Anderson, Malik Collins, Sheldon Rankins, and Robert Woods were all back at practice yesterday and practicing at least in some sort of limited fashion. Jonathan Greenard was dressed for practice, their leading sacker, but he did not practice. Neither Anderson, who did not play against the Browns, or Greenard, who left in the middle of that game against the Browns, were able to finish the game. And, of course, the Texans only had one sack against Joe Flacco. In a year where they set the franchise record for sacks, it'll help to hopefully have Jonathan Greenard back. And, by the way, up on the TV, you see Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick hugging, and I'm tearing up a little bit. I am tearing up a little bit. And then, of course, our cable went out, so now I don't have to see it.
Oh, I still have. Breaking college football news, Dan Lanning, rumored to be in Tuscaloosa. Inaccurate. He's staying at Oregon.
Wow.
So.
It would have been a weird fit.
Strike one off the list.
Yeah. But look, there's going to be a lot of candidates for Alabama.
Yes, and everyone who says everyone who is on like a tweeted out list of who's going to be the next Alabama coach who doesn't get the job, it's always, hey, you know, he was the number one choice, but turned it down.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Dan Lanning turned it down.
Oh yeah, it's just like what all the teams who didn't get Shohei did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, we tried.
Yeah, same offer. Same offer.
It's the same offer. It was off by, hundreds of millions of dollars that are being made in deferred payments because the Dodgers are geniuses on that front. Got to give the Dodgers credit for that move. No Noah Brown as well for the Houston Texans at practice yesterday. Yesterday on our show, we also discussed how the Houston Texans have to avoid the rat poison, the rat traps, whatever you want to call it. Praise. You can't get too high off your own supply or off of people praising you. Interestingly, the day after, we talk about some praise that CJ Stroud was getting, comparisons to Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning with Kevin Clark had this to say about regrets that he has about his rookie season, and he brought up CJ Stroud.
You get to relive one rep of your career and get it back. What are we going with?
Oh, God. One rep. I mean, can I have all 28 reps of the 28 interceptions I threw my rookie year? I mean, CJ Stroud, the way he's played this year, I mean, like the respect I have for his season, I can't describe it enough because of what my rookie season was like. I mean, I always say, well, it's tough being a rookie in the NFL. CJ Stroud's like, it doesn't look that tough. It was extremely tough for me.
It was tough for Peyton Manning, but he still had an awesome rookie year. He just threw a lot of interceptions. He still set passing yards records, passing touchdown records in that season in Indianapolis. And he did change the Colts from a afterthought to a legitimate franchise. Like, they hadn't been that good since the days of Johnny Unitas, Don Shula, before he left for the Miami Dolphins. Pretty interesting to see that. Anyway, CJ, don't listen to Peyton. Don't listen to these comparisons. Remember, Stephen A. Smith and others at ESPN, they don't believe you have much of a chance against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
No chance. Stephen A. Smith, Pat McAfee, the guy with the mullet on the Pat McAfee show. I'm sure A.J. Hawk, I don't know. I don't know if he's vocalized anything, but
they seem to be doing it in jest with Stroud, but it does feel like there's a lot of buzz in favor of Cleveland winning the game. And I get it. Their defense is good. Yeah. It's been an interesting season. I really don't know who I'm going to pick on tomorrow's show. I'm going to save it because I still don't really know where to go. I'm not feeling super confident about it. But I also think it's weird that this is not just a straight-up pick-em game. I think with CJ Stroud back aboard, to act like the last game has any impact, especially when Will Anderson will be back, and it seems like there's a chance Jonathan Greenard will be back. It's got to level the playing field somewhat, especially when I heard five-star on with the bench this morning as well say, like, the Browns' road defense compared to their home defense. Yeah. There's a significant discrepancy there.
I remember looking at that when they played Houston the first time. But, yeah, it is going to be interesting. They do match up well because the Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator for Cleveland, he just kind of trusts his talent, I'll say, on defense, and he'll just man up teams and just say, hey, try to beat us one-on-one. And CJ Stroud and the Texans offense have struggled against man coverage, mostly because without Tank Dell, it's just like, Nico Collins is the only guy that you really trust in a one-on-one situation matched up with the NFL cornerback. So that's going to be interesting to watch that matchup. But again, it's CJ Stroud. You feel pretty good. You know, I said it last week going into the Indy game, like, CJ Stroud has now graduated into the point where walking into a game with him, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great place to be. It's a place that I used to be as a Patriots fan with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Oh, Teddy Bruschi's now talking about end of an era.
I just saw
what it says on
Belichick
ESPN.
Leave the podium from the press conference, and I'm not kidding. Like, there is a tear welling up in my right eye. And then I saw
Rodney
Teddy
Harrison.
Bruschi coming in. Bruschi's definitely tearing up a little bit. Yeah, this is
Wow.
Stop rubbing it in.
Is that Matt Patricia? Oh, sorry.
that's a good way to lighten the mood. I appreciate you on that front. So there are a lot of naysayers about the Houston Texans. Let's focus on one of them who hasn't really been called out for things that he said specifically a year ago. And this is before we even get into his beef with Jason Whitlock. But Remember what Stephen A. Smith had to say about the Houston Texans organization about a year ago? Here is Stephen A. Smith at the beginning of a rant that he had about the Texans right after they had fired Lovie Smith.
The Houston Texans organization, I'm going to say something loud and clear over the national airwaves, and I don't give a damn what anybody thinks. African Americans need not apply. This is not an organization that has been fair to African Americans as far as I'm concerned. And I have these two as an example. You can use Romeo Crennel and the kind of situation they put him in the past. I don't like this organization.
I don't like this organization. That is a strong thing to say, especially when you think about a conversation he had with Shannon Sharpe on First Take right after the national championship game or before the national championship game, talking about the impending Texans-Browns matchup, where he said that he would love to see Deshaun Watson win a playoff game with the Browns. Huh. Wonder if that is something that has perhaps floated into why Stephen A. Smith doesn't like the Texans. This rant was not done. It was very long. And he believes that the Houston Texans are one of place that black head coaches, even though D'Amico Ryans is a black head coach, should not apply, and that it's, to be frank, racist.
You just wanted them to band-aid the issue for the moment to buy you some time before you did what you wanted to do. The Houston Texans organization are an atrocity. They are an embarrassment. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're an African-American and you aspire to be a head coach in the National Football League, there's 31 teams you should hope for. You should hope beyond God that the Houston Texans never call you. Not as long as that man is in there. Because it's an embarrassment and something needs to be said about it.
Well, wrong. And I wonder if this agenda continues from Stephen A. Smith and if he picks against the Texans, partly because of it. Because let's be honest. You know me, I'll admit it. Like I have a personal bias specifically against the Tennessee Titans. I hate them, and it has not much to do with, honestly, them leaving town. I know for a lot of you, that's the reason you hate them. I hate their fans, like, with a passion. I think they're unbelievably sensitive little babies about things. And sometimes your personal opinions does find its way, weasels its way into your actual opinions about things. So I wonder about Stephen A.'s pick this week for that game. Now, clearly, in the public eye, the Texans have done quite the 180, and they are likely to have the head coach of the year. It's a chance. Offensive rookie of the year and defensive rookie of the year. And we're all looking at this like it never happened. But you look at the Texans organization just historically and these accusations that are made. I mean, this is a quarterback that did have Tony Banks under center. It also, of course, drafted Deshaun Watson, traded up in the draft to draft Deshaun Watson, had Rick Smith as a general manager for a long period of time, and has had, as a interim head coach, Romeo Crennel, head coach David Culley, head coach Lovie Smith. The funny thing about those last two, is it really racist to move on from those guys after 1 year when they were good and things really did not seem to be showing much signs of progress? And I suppose you could argue that it was happening at the end of the year for David Culley and the Texans, but at the same time, like, it was so bad early on. Some of the things he was saying at the press conference, you have to wonder, wait, why did they hire him? That's more the issue, not moving on from him after a year. And I would say the same thing for the Lovie Smith era. It's like, why did you hire him? Oh, because you were trying to avoid Josh McCown at the last second? Oh, because you'd finally gotten rid of Jack Easterby or something like that?
Yeah, I think that is a key part to, well, A, you just have to, like, you have to remember that last year, or before like week 8 this year, there's no reason for the national media to, like,
talk about him at all.
Talk about the Texans. So when you just see, like, wait, they hired a black coach, fired him after 1 year, hired another black coach, fired him after 1 year. We know Jack Easterby's a moron. We know the Texans are not really a well-run team at that time. They were not a well-run team at that time.
No doubt.
So
no denying it.
It's very easy to put the pieces together. And, like, I mean, honestly, some of that stuff, like, I would agree with. I would not agree with African-Americans need not apply. I think that's a step farther than I am willing to take. But a lot of that stuff, you're just, like, nodding along. And, I mean, it is really the – hiring of D'Amico Ryans, the drafting of CJ Stroud, that's just like boom. Now they're one of the, I mean, top half easily organizations, it feels like.
Oh yeah, they're one of the most valuable in the NFL. It is crazy how quickly something can change. But since this is an organization, as you said a little bit before, Sean, that is rarely discussed, when these moments do happen, go back to 2017 with the comments from Bob McNair, which were, I thought, insensitive, but I did not think were as bad as they were made out to be, where he said, like, the inmates are running the prison. I thought it was inmates running the asylum, so I thought he just butchered the saying. People acting like that was the worst thing that was ever said, I thought was, like, a little bit of a reach. I don't think Bob McNair was saying, like, yeah, all these guys are prisoners or something like that.
It's also just a time and place situation. Exactly. It was, like, specifically talking about the Colin Kaepernick stuff.
Correct.
Then using that metaphor is, like, Not the time, dude.
I remember going on the other night and saying it's racially insensitive, but to paint him as a racist,
yeah,
I'm not going that far. I think that's over the top. I think it's just an older guy from a different generation, but not saying like, oh, all these people out here doing that. Like, he wasn't doing that. That was what came out of his mouth. But it's interesting how perception changes when you win. Like, that's all you have to do. You win and everyone forgets about this stuff. But speaking of Stephen A. Smith, and we got some texters and tweeters that are commenting about Stephen A. Smith and how they're not the biggest fans. I like that Stephen A. Smith is an entertainer. He just got into a beef with another prominent media member. I guess we're in beef week. You got people, Cat Williams against the comedy world. You got Pat McAfee and Aaron Rodgers versus Jimmy Kimmel. But now you got by far the best beef that we have seen in 2024. First, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You enter that, they will match your first deposit up to $1,000. And guess what, guys? The NFL playoffs are here. These are the games that you want to bet on, because these are the games that matter. And these are the games where you feel like you have the best feel for who's good and who's isn't. The Texans are still 2.5-point home dogs against the Cleveland Browns. It just doesn't seem right to me, even though the Browns did win rather convincingly. Because if CJ Stroud's back, and if Will Anderson and Jonathan Greenard are back, and we'll see on the ladder with Jonathan Greenard, I feel like this should at the very least be a pick'em. And guess what? As I'm looking at the website, it is now Browns by 3. It literally just changed right in front of me, up to the minute odds, so you can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. I think right now I got to take the Texans if it's 3. I can do it on 3. At least I'm going to get a push out of that. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, your go-to destination to bet on anything, anytime, anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.com. Get in the race.
There are thrills and terrible dangers ahead.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
So this back and forth has not resorted to anyone calling the other gay, but it does feel like it was trending in that direction. I like beef. I do. It's fun to sit back and watch two people get into it with each other, especially when you don't have to pick a side. However, generally you're going to pick the side of the person that you like more, right? And without knowing either of these two, I feel quite confident in saying that if I could get a drink with Stephen A. Smith or Jason Whitlock, I would choose Stephen A. Smith every single time. Now, again, I know nothing about either of these two people. I just know that Stephen A. Smith is pretty well-liked among peers, and that Jason Whitlock is the exact opposite. He has very few friends in this game. It's not to say what he does is bad, but that's the general popular opinion on him, with the added difference that Jason Whitlock in particular does seem to the naked eye like somebody who goes out of his way to say something that nobody agrees with. And there is an art to that. Skip Bayless has made millions off of that. But it does feel like he is constantly zagging, and you got to wonder about someone like that, how much authenticity that person has. But that's where we get into this back and forth. Because Stephen A. Smith wrote a book. It's called Straight Shooter, a memoir of second chances and first takes. Jason Whitlock, I guess, read this book and claims that Smith wrote lies and exaggerations, including about his basketball career, and at one point called Stephen A. Smith Stephen A. Myth. Not bad.
Yeah, you know.
That joke.
That would have been the best joke in the Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Kimmel feud.
Right.
It's like a C-.
Yeah, it would have been better than anything that Jimmy Kimmel put together. That's for sure. The double A thing, I still don't think it was that funny. Like, the only 2 A's you got in his name. Like, cool, dude. Like, good. You had a week to write that. Jason Whitlock, not a comedian by trade. Jimmy Kimmel, yeah. Comedian by trade,
but he
with
is,
writers.
He is conservative, so you found it funny.
Anyway,
call back to yesterday's show.
The thing I know that was a good callback to yesterday's show.
No, for
show,
the listeners.
I know for the listeners. That is fair, because I like people think I'm bad guy because I like Shane Gillis and Tim Dillon and Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan. Anyway, the thing that I think specifically Whitlock pointed out was this idea that Stephen A. Smith made 17 threes in a row. It's something I heard him tell the story of, I think, when he joined Pardon My Take that one time. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. 17 threes in a row, though, from a person as bombastic and cartoonish at times as Stephen A. Smith, who does seem to be more of a cartoon character than a reporter or analyst these days, which I have no problem with. That's what I am, right? Like, if you listen to this show, I hope you understand that, like, we are effing around for the most part, and occasionally we get serious. And it's up to you to determine when we're getting serious. Now, Stephen A. Smith was so pissed off by what Jason Whitlock had to say, that before going on a rant about Jason Whitlock, he felt the need to preface his rant. It all starts where he just addresses Jason Whitlock for the first time. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
Jason Whitlock. I said that name. It's not a name I've uttered. I normally don't do that. But it's necessary to do now. I've had enough of that fat bastard. That piece of shit. And I want to make sure that before I go to break, I want anyone out there who watches me, anyone out there who knows me, anyone out there, no matter what you think of me, I want you to remember, I never talk about him. I never talk about my colleagues. I don't do that. This is a first.
So he really wanted to let everybody know this is the first time he's ever done that.
That's how you radio tease right there.
It really is a good radio tease. Again, there's some people who are just really gifted with how they present something like this. And I mean, even if the actual quality of the rant isn't good, the way Stephen A. says it is compelling. This is going to piss some people off, but someone who I just enjoyed the way that he delivered things way back in the day that doesn't get a lot of credit for it, Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck was a master orator or orator. I don't know. See, I'm not very good at it, as you can tell right now. But there's some people who are just very compelling, and they don't even have to really be saying a whole lot of anything. To that point, I mean, Stephen A. Smith did call him a bastard. But he's saying, I'm about to do something I've never done. And he felt the need to continue to warn, like, his family, essentially.
His pastor. Like, he named, like, so many people in his life.
The cats, the dogs, your children. He continued by warning the audience and his friends.
You betrayed me. Did you tell the folks that? You bitch. Did you tell them? You fat piece of shit. Did you tell him that? Got the names. We got Jemele Hill. We got Howard Bryant.
Yeah, so it went from there to there. I mean, it's great. But do I feel the need to watch all 40 minutes of his rant against Jason Whitlock? Because I already have to watch Cat Williams' appearance on Shannon Sharpe's show. I still haven't had time to do that. Again, Texans-Browns takes precedence. I need to analyze and break down the game as a football scholar. I think I have to watch Joe Coy's presentation at the Golden Globes, which has been getting panned by everybody. I think I got to watch Kevin Hart's responses to Cat Williams. I don't know if any other comics have responded.
I think Cedric the Entertainer chimed in.
And Steve Harvey, because he alleged that both of them like stole jokes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. So I got to watch those. I got to watch Dave Chappelle's special. I got to watch Lil Nas X's response to Dave Chappelle's special. There's a lot of stuff I got to watch.
Yeah. Rockets Bulls last night at Chili's.
Right, exactly. Like, these are the things I want to focus on. There's a lot of beef out there. I think I just want the surface level of the beef. And I think that's generally where all of us are. We, like, don't actually care about the intricacies. I think you just like to see two people argue with one another.
Yeah, especially, I think it's in a situation like Cat Williams versus the Kings of Comedy, basically. I like all those comics, like, pretty well. You know, I've watched their stuff, laughed, they're funny. I don't feel the need to really get in neck deep with the beef. Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah,
like, don't feel the need to get neck deep in their, like, I don't need to watch, like, the 40-minute hit with McAfee of, like, where Aaron Rodgers talking about all
right,
sorts of things.
Exactly, Sean. Like, I watched the Jimmy Kimmel thing, and I was like, why? I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, just give me the highlights.
I watched some of the Rodgers stuff, and I wished I hadn't. And maybe this is also symptomatic of where we are as a society today, where we just do not want to spend a large portion of time doing anything that's, like, out of the ordinary, that kind of gets us out of our schedule. But these beefs are entertaining. It's just like when you get into the nitty-gritty, you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why am I here? Let that person have that as his battle, his war that he fights, his crusade.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, when someone, you know, when it's a beef that hits closer to home, then maybe I'll engage it. But like you said, with like your schedule, it has to be like when it's a beef about like a person whose content I enjoy. Or a person whose content I already watch.
Exactly.
Then I'll commit. It's like, well, that's not really committing any extra time. That's just doing what you normally do.
We got a comment on the Twitch from CJ's Freshwater Jellyfish. I'm glad I don't have social media. It's the blind leading the blind. Here's the thing about social media, though. It does give you, like, the in-a-nutshell version of this. And sometimes you'll see misleading headlines that lead to it. Like, for example, I saw today a misleading headline that Stephen A. Smith said that Joe Flacco was going to expose C.J. Stroud, and I watched it. And it was, like, a 10-minute video that was ripped by some person living in an Eastern Asian country, and then it turned into 10 minutes of this person playing video game pool. And it was horrible, and I'm mad that I watched it. It was a misleading headline. F that guy. I hope his YouTube channel gets banned and that he loses all his money for wasting my 5 minutes. But that's sort of where we're at. Like, you don't want to watch all this stuff. You don't want to dive into all this stuff. Hell, I mean, with the Pat McAfee latest, everyone was acting like, yeah, Pat McAfee, like, did the right thing here. And they're kissing his ass because, like, oh, they're not going to have Aaron Rodgers anymore. No, it just ended because the regular season is done. And that's what they had scheduled for their interviews with Aaron Rodgers. And Pat McAfee even said after the fact, like, oh, yeah, like, I didn't pull the plug on this, but we are done. It's bizarre. Too much beef this week. It's football time in Houston, and I'm ready to play.
We need positivity. Positive Paul.
Mm-hmm. Positive Paul.
Remember Positive Paul?
I do remember.
Those are the dark days of Texans football.
Yikes.
When it was a segment to make Paul say
list
something
all
nice.
The positive things in the Texans, and yeah, there weren't many, but now there's so many. And speaking of those, that positive news, two positive developments for the Texans at practice today. And we continue our countdown to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg.
To the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
I love Third Eye Blind. Guess what? They're coming to Houston for their 2024 Summer of Gods tour. They're going to be on with Yellow Card and Arizona, August 3rd at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion, presented by Huntsman. Caller 3 to 713-780-3776. You win a pair of tickets to see the show. They go on sale tomorrow at LiveNation.com. Guarantee you I will be there. Because I also love Yellow Card. Ocean Avenue, way, way, way. Great songs. A Third Eye Blind. First concert I think I ever went to as an adult was Third Eye Blind. My first weekend at Syracuse University. What a time. What a time. All right, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Two promising developments per our friend, Cody Stutes, at Texans practice today. And they both have to do with injured Houston Texans. About 20 minutes ago, Cody reported, Noah Brown is warming up and looks set to practice. Robert Woods has been at practice the last couple of games. So unlike on Saturday, where it was really just CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, and to an extent, Dalton Schultz, it's on the table for the Texans to have their top four receiving options after Tank Dell available. On top of that, and this is probably the bigger development, Jonathan Greenard, per Cody, also warming up, also looks set to practice. I suppose we'll find out some information at the end and where on the practice report this is, because it, for those who don't know, basically you only get to watch about like 7 minutes of practice. If you are going to NRG Stadium, you get to see basically players stretching. You don't get to see anything that happens, especially during the playoffs because they're so paranoid. But if the Texans have both Jonathan Greenard and Will Anderson on the field rushing after Joe Flacco, a team that set the franchise record for sacks in a season, and on top of that, have Nico Collins, Robert Woods, and Noah Brown, like, I feel damn good about their chances to win Saturday. I suppose we won't know that for sure until tomorrow. At the earliest, Saturday right before the game, at the latest, when they announce the inactives, usually about an hour and a half before the game. But this is tremendous news. And I would look to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. If this holds, the Texans are currently 3-point dogs to the Browns at home against a Browns team that defensively has not done very well on the road this year. So something to keep in mind. All right. Also, we're getting closer and closer, guys, to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting. Give me that trombone, Sean Mapes. Let's continue our Astros countdown.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
32 days away. Did you know that the Astros actually have retired number 32? It's for Jim Umbrecht, who was a pitcher from 1959 through 1963 for the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Houston Colt 45s. In his couple of seasons with the Colt 45s, he was diagnosed with cancer, a black mole on his right leg. He ignored it, and it grew rapidly, and he ultimately would die from it. Absolutely tragic story, and that's why the Astros retired. So sorry to have a depressing number with 32, but that is the only Houston Astro, and technically only Houston Colt 45 to wear number 32. Man, just reading about this is really sad. Like, he kept it a secret outside of his immediate family. He was supposed to have five or six good years left in his baseball career. and oof, awful.
Yeah. Guys, if you have a mole that looks
get it looked at, especially if it's growing a little bit.
I can't believe we started the Astros countdown at 33 after 35 Justin Verlander, 34 Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
So we started the Mike Scott, and now I mean
Jim Umbrecht.
Real
pour
down.
One out for Jim Umbrecht. Real yeah. ones no.
Don't have a fun one.
That's brutal. But the update that we have today, Alex Bregman caught up with Brian McTaggart. Or Brian McTaggart caught up with Alex Bregman. Yeah, I think that's how it goes. MLB.com, Astros reporter. Shut up! I'm figuring it out on the fly.
Alex Bregman. Hey, Brian McTaggart? Is that you?
I've got a story for you.
Been meaning to talk to you.
I've got a scoop, Bri guy.
Alex Bregman was asked about the final year of his contract with the Astros. And here's what he told Brian. Quote, to be honest, I'm not even approaching this season. I'm really not approaching this season like there's anything looming. I'm approaching the season like I want to play the best year of my career and have the best season I've ever had and let everything fall where it falls. So a somewhat generic quote, but hey, at least Alex Bregman subscribes to our theory of living every day like it's the best day of your life and living every year like it's the best year of your life. How about that? It's really good to see from Alex Bregman. He continued saying, physically, I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life, mechanically with my swing, and being able to hit in the offseason for the first time in maybe 4 years has been amazing. That's actually something I forgot about because he has been dealing with injuries for the last couple of offseasons. Last year in the World Series, he broke his finger. The year before, he had a hand injury. He says this is the first time that he's going to be able to hit during the offseason since 2019.
Maybe get a fast start, huh?
Fast start.
Classic slow starter, Alex Bregman.
Finish strong with a contract year kind of finish.
Yeah.
Gets paid.
I do. It does warm my heart that we're close to the start of baseball season, given one part of that quote.
What's that, Sean?
Quote, I'm in the best shape of my life. That we're close to a season starting. When you hear a player say that they're in the best shape of their life.
Oh, dang. Yeah, it really can only backfire, right?
Well, it's just like a sign, you know, it's the quote that you give the first day of training camp. It's the quote you give the first day of spring training. It's, I'm in the best shape of my life. I added 10 pounds of muscle.
Sports are weird, though, where a guy saying that he's in the best shape of his life, and then when they disappoint, you're like, oh.
Yeah, because like,
for example, Dwayne Brown came into one Texan season 2013 shredded, like compared to where he normally is, because he's a bigger guy, but he was like svelte and he kind of sucked.
Because a lot of times it's not like the actual physical shape that you're in that's the problem, especially in a sport like baseball where it's helps to be in good shape, but you don't exactly need to be.
Honestly, it might not. You can be. A sport you can be a fatty boom batty and be good at, like, yeah. Bartolo Colon, Pablo Sandoval. Who's that guy that was Ryan Vogelsong?
Oh, Vogelbach.
Daniel Vogelbach.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. He's hefty. Yeah,
hefty.
I mean, his going up to the plate music is my milkshake, which is hilarious. I like the self-awareness, the owning of it.
You got to do that.
Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got any thoughts on the changing landscape in football coaching? You can weigh in. Nick Saban retires. Bill Belichick and the Patriots parted ways with a press conference minutes ago. The Seahawks and Pete Carroll parted ways as well. And if you got any thoughts on the Texans and Browns, you can bring them to the table too. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston. Well, on FM, that is. To the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
How long will they mourn Bill Belichick? How long will they mourn Pete Carroll? How long will they mourn Nick Saban?
Got to think about Mac Jones in a time like this.
Yeah.
Played for both of them.
I hope they cut him immediately.
Oh, come on. He's in the best shape of his life. He added 7 pounds of pure muscle the last 2 weeks.
Well,
it'll help. It's going to help him on the job market, is what you're saying?
It's nice to start off with some muscle. That's for sure. So Derek Stingley Jr., get this, has been named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month. He is just the sixth player in Texans history to earn the honor. Want to see something crazy? Since week 13, Sean Mapes, can you guess Stingley's passer rating when targeting?
I'm going to guess it's like low.
You're going to be stunned by how low it is.
Really? 35?
1.7. I mean, shocked. That is an incredible number.
He has 5 picks, and I imagine that gets you a zero. But, man, that...
1.7.
That's crazy. And that's passer rating,
whether
right?
It's QBR or passer rating. Passer rating is 158.3. QBR is 100. It's 1.7.
That's low, no matter how you slice it.
That's from Everett Geerlings, who is a works for Texans PR. Whew. That is an insane number. Wow.
I am forced to ask the question. Do you think Nick Caserio regrets passing on Sauce
no,
Gardner?
He does not.
I'll pass that along,
because you also don't have an overly sensitive baby like Sauce Gardner was during the offseason. He was. Like, dude, like, wow. Someone is saying Tariq Woolen might have been as good as you his rookie season, and that you got more credit because you were in New York and he was in Seattle. It's legitimately a very rational take to have. It's not to say you suck, dude. Like, relax. No, I do think Derek Stingley was a little bit over the top with... like the LeBron emoji after not making the Pro Bowl when he only played in 9 games. But then I see this and I'm like, maybe
wear a bucket hat and go to, where is it, Orlando, and play some dodgeball at the Pro Bowl, you know?
Yeah. Like, that is, again, a 1.7 passer rating when targeted since week 13.
That's crazy.
That is absolutely bonkers. Potch Gaming comments, Sting went from, is this guy ever going to play, to, holy bleep, this guy is good.
Yeah, I'm ready to officially graduate him to, I have no questions about Derek Stingley other than his health.
Yeah.
It is just a matter of, like, just get one 16-game season under your belt. I guess they play 17. Honestly, you could miss one game. You can miss one game.
Just give me 13. I'm cool.
Have a full season under your belt and, like, we're good. Here's your extension.
Hamstrings are always tricky. If he gets an extension, it'll be a lot because he's a cornerback. But I think that you can say that this has been a successful pick entirely based off of the fact that he's proven he can play at this level. Some people, I think, are unfair with the criticism of bust when a guy just gets hurt. That stuff's freakish. It's flukish. You can't control it. When the guy doesn't give a damn, when the guy doesn't try, that is a bust.
Or just sucks.
Right, exactly.
Or
exactly.
It's just a bad evaluation.
Exactly. And even then, that's I hate to use the bust label there often, because even then, like, that's a bust by the organization. That's not a bust necessarily by the player.
It's
the draft industrial complex and the actual general manager, as opposed to the player being taken too early. The guy doesn't try and he doesn't care. Like, that is a bust. That guy sucks.
And a lot of times a bust, I mean, it's obvious, but like a bust that gets taken with the 16th pick, if he had the exact same career, but he was the 36th pick, he's not a bust. It's like when you have the first round, you know, the stamp on next to your name, then it becomes bust potential. Where if you're like a second round pick, it's like it's impossible for you to bust. It's very funny that it's really only, what, like 10 picks away? Like, you know, if you're picked in the 20s, it's like bust, loser. But if you're a second round pick, it's like, well, you know, he was a second round pick, you know. Pretty decent to get, you know, quarterback XYZ in the second round.
Sean, this is why I hate the draft. I mean, you're summarizing one of many reasons I think that draft coverage is dumb. Like, I don't understand how we are so harsh with grading a player that's taken, as you said, like yeah, 20th versus 34th, or why we put so much stock into these first-round picks when they're at best 50-50 propositions that you'll get a five-year starter.
Now, with that being said, Mac Jones, bust.
Yeah, he sucks. he's not a good quarterback. We have an interesting text from the 832. Paul, I want you to really think about what I'm about to say. I think Saban is pulling a LeBron. He doesn't win the national championship, so he retires only to come back to try for one win. I don't think the retirement is permanent. That's a hot take, Eric, in Jersey Village. I think his age, though, is a strong indicator that he does not want to coach in college football anymore. He's tired of the NIL stuff. He's been hinting at it for the last couple of years. He hates this addition to coaching. If it was just coaching, I bet he would coach for a couple more years. I don't think this is a me moment by Nick Saban. I think he is legitimately gassed by the demands of this job.
And it's just like hard to do when you're 70. To have to work year-round when you're 70.
Now, with Pete Carroll, I feel differently. I don't know. And with Bill Belichick, same thing. Belichick wants the Shula record, so he's going to keep coaching as long as he can. Pete Carroll, how many people do you know that are your age that are as energetic as Pete Carroll? Like, Pete Carroll makes me jealous of energy, and I consider myself to be quite energetic.
Yeah. So Belichick would put it at like 95%, 99% going to coach again.
Yeah.
Where would you put it at the other two?
Pete Carroll... That's tricky. I bet Pete Carroll's like at a 70.
Right. Wow.
Now. Yeah. The idea of him sticking around in an advisor role, I think as time wears on, he is going to be a little less enthused about that.
Yeah. And even if you like hire him and you get like 5 years of Pete Carroll, because that would be until he's 77. Like, that's
right.
To get 5 years of good coach, like most teams would just sign up for that today.
Right. He could work in the advisor role, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I almost want him to be like a high school football coach.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the idea that Belichick would just like take away his own GM duties, but still be the head coach. It's hard to be in the same place and take less responsibility.
Great point.
Because, you know, if the Seahawks hire a new coach and he's an advisor and he's like, you know, I would do it this way.
Right.
Like, now this is not set up.
Hey, I mean, like, say you bring in Dan Quinn. Like, Dan Quinn was his
DC
subordinate.
Yeah.
Like, right. So, like, you're not going to tell Dan everything you want? Dan's not going to get annoyed by that really quick?
Yeah.
Real quick, garbage time. The Heat waited to give Eric Spoelstra a contract extension, 8 years, $120 million, until after his divorce proceedings were concluded. I do not believe that the United States divorce system is fair. Antonio Brown is having another kid. He wrote a haiku about it. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is actually a haiku.
I was going to ask.
This girl want me uterus. Bleep it. I'm rich. Let's do it.
I think haikus are only three.
They are, but it looked like a haiku when he put it out.
When it's short, a short poem equals haiku.
I got a whole lot of money, whole lot of money, whole lot of money. And one last thing, Netflix is creating a new documentary series, an NBA one, modeled off of the NFL quarterback show featuring LeBron, Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Edwards, and Domantas Sabonis. I will watch this. I'm never going to watch the quarterback documentary. I'm just not going to. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our texters, our twitchers, our callers, and tweeters. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Connor and Beard are up next. Peace!
You bitch. You fat piece of shit.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dracula Flow.
I took two limitless pills to limit myself.